Coming up in this week's connection activity, I'm going to guide you through a quick guided meditation and give you some breathing techniques.
Mindfulness week. Whoop, whoop.
All right, this week's connection activity, we are in mindfulness week, and I'm going to take you through a quick 60-second guided meditation, and then we'll introduce you to two of my favorite breathing techniques, and we'll go from there. So this is something I've done in my classroom in multiple spaces for multiple reasons. I think mindfulness and meditation is kind of critical to my classroom behavior strategies. Like my students know when they come into my room, we talked about this in music week, that like, you know, we want the energy high and that kind of thing. But every once in a while, you also need to like reground them. Because, you know, sometimes that energy I take to a whole different level, and it's tough to rein it back in depending on the day of the week or what else is going on. And so, you know, reminding them to take a couple deep breaths is a good thing. When I had my students with me 5 days a week, I would do this every single Monday, and we would do Mindful Mondays. So the first one that we're going to do is exactly how I started the very first one I would do with my students. It would be a 60-second guided meditation, because if you've never done meditation before or you've never sat still for 60 seconds, it feels like forever. And so, you know, I'd have some students that have done practices before. They do, you know, yoga or Tai Chi or whatever it is, where they have some different spaces in their life where they actually sit still. And I have other students where 15 seconds in, they start giggling. You know, so we start with 60 seconds. I usually stay with 60 seconds for arguably like the first month, right? And I do it just on Mondays. And then we try to stretch it to 2 minutes. And then in my classroom, I never go more than 5 minutes. Although I encourage them to do 10 minutes on their own. And then I encourage them to do some like free resources like Headspace, for example. And, you know, we're not sponsored by them, but I love their program. And they have a free 10-day trial that gives you some basic how to meditate. And then also, I'm going to give them a shout out just because it's free for us as teachers. If you go and sign up with your teacher email, at least a month or two ago, I did this, and you actually get a free annual subscription and you get unlimited access to all their stuff. So I would check out headspace.com and do some of that if you want to do some of your own meditation, or if you want to share their guided meditations in your classroom, things like that. So let's take a quick moment and we're going to do our own. So the first thing I always do is I have them sit upright in their chair. If technology's out, obviously shut your technology, turn your phone upside down, put it on silent if you need to. And we're literally just going to enjoy 60 seconds of nothingness for the most part. I'm going to give a little bit of guidedness just because true silence on the very first one, again, laughter kind of ties in. So I start to like talk to some of the things that are maybe happening in the room. But the first piece is just, you know, upright. You don't have to be super rigid, but, you know, you're aligning your chakras, that kind of stuff. And then if you want, just relaxed hands on your lap. You can go palms up if you want, feet kind of firmly on the floor. And then we're going to take a deep breath in through our nose, out through the mouth. And then we're going to do another deep breath in, out through the mouth. And on the third one, I'm going to invite people to close their eyes if they feel comfortable with it. And I remind them I keep my eyes open so that I have safety over them while we're doing this activity. So deep breath in. On your out breath, if you're comfortable with it, go ahead and close your eyes. If you're not comfortable with your eyes closed, I'd encourage you just to find a spot on the floor and keep focus with it. And now with your eyes closed, just take a couple more deep breaths. You can return to just a normal breathing in through the nose, out through the nose is fine. Have a little bit of awareness of maybe the sounds or maybe some of the tension in your body or the way that you're feeling. you have any thoughts, just notice them and let them pass. And if you'd like an anchor, just focus on your breath. And then on your next in-breath, take a nice deep breath in again. And on your out-breath, you can slowly open your eyes as you feel comfortable. And welcome back. And usually at this point, as I kind of transition us back in, I don't want to like jump right back into something full speed because it's a like a jolting kind of thing. So I'll keep kind of my energy at kind of a neutral for a little bit here. I'll welcome them back. Again, usually there's some snickering. Sometimes I'll make reference to it. I'll be like, you know, if you were uncomfortable with sitting still for 60 seconds, I'd encourage you to think about maybe why. Maybe why it is that you feel uncomfortable being still. Is it because you're never allowed to have that space? Is it because when you sit still, you have to think about things you don't want to think about? And it's the only time that things from your past or maybe your present show up. And so you always try to stay busy so you don't have to think about those things. So sometimes I'll speak to that and I'll let them slowly get back. And then we kind of pick back up. And then I'm like, all right, welcome back. Thank you. Appreciate that. Again, I'm going to encourage you all to do your own mindfulness at home. You know, try to get 5 or 10 minutes in at least a couple times a week. The more you do this, the more comfortable you will be with sitting still, and it will help in a lot of different ways. And then, you know, I'll share some of my reasons why I really enjoy meditation and how it's shown up in my life as a very positive thing. So the other two activities I'd like to share with you real quick are some breathing technique ones. The first one is really one to allow you to truly take deep breaths. Most people do not take very deep breaths. And a lot of times it's why we're tired. A lot of times it's why we seek caffeine or we seek different coping mechanisms where our body is like literally forced to take deep breaths because of the things we're partaking in. So I'm going to give you a healthy alternative, and we're going to just practice on 5 deep breaths with this one. It's a multiple of 1:4:2 ratio. It's not necessarily seconds, but it's a count. So I'm going to count fairly quick with you. I'm going to go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, kind of at that tempo. We're going to breathe in for an 8 count. You're going to hold that breath for 32, 4 times that 8. And then we're going to exhale for 2 times that 8, so 16. Okay. If it's hard to do that, maybe you do 6, 24, and 12 or 7, 28, and 14, whatever that count is for you, or just change the pace you're counting, right? So that's another way you can do it too. So again, we're going to do this 5 times. This will probably take about 2.5 minutes. So we're going to take a deep breath in, I'm going to count with you. So I won't necessarily be able to do it quite as well with you because I'll be counting. But I'm going to encourage you, and Dave's going to participate with us. So you can follow Absolutely. His lead as well here. So, all right, deep breath in, ready. In 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Hold it 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31, 32. Exhale 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. Keep pushing 15, 16. Inhale 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Hold it. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31, 32. Exhale. Get it all out. 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. And inhale for 3. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Hold it. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31, 32. Exhale, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. Inhale, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Hold it, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31, 32. Exhale, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. And last one in, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Hold it. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31, 32. Exhale, get it all out. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. Go back to normal breathing. How's your head feel, Dave?
Good. I had to. I think my biggest struggle with that is not just laughing at the counting. Not that yeah. There's anything wrong with the way you were doing it. It was just cracking me up for some reason.
Yeah. For me, I know the first time I did it, I was like, how long do I have to hold my breath? And then the exhale, because like I inhale on an 8 count, the exhale on a 16, I like blew it all out by 8. Yeah. And I'm like, oh no, I got to keep pushing.
Yeah, I definitely needed to learn how to slow down the release there.
Right. Well, and part of it too, like the science behind it, from what I've heard and learned when I was first being introduced to this, is that exhale actually is releasing the toxins from your body. So by pushing that little extra, you're actually getting some of that junk out of your body that you normally don't get to because we don't take deep enough breaths to cleanse our system. So one of the podcasts I was listening to that was going a little bit of a deeper dive on that breathing technique talked about this idea that if you do that 10 breaths twice a day, like it literally has like all these massive scientific benefits on a health basis. Like it's like helps with sleep, helps with like health, it helps with your immune system, like it's attention, like all these kinds of things. It's crazy. So I would encourage you to do that in your own practice, and I would encourage you to teach your students to do that. And the last one here is called turtle breaths, and I'm going to do this one because this one will make you laugh, and it's hilarious, and it's funny. I remember the first time I did this, I learned this from Master Ko. Check out some of his stuff. He's awesome. And he literally, like everybody in my class was just dying with laughter. So he's straight faced the entire time he does it. Like it's what he does professionally. He's very good with energy and all this kind of stuff, and breathing techniques. But you literally are going to go inhale. And then on your exhale, you're going to collapse like you're doing a crunch out your mouth. So in through your nose, out through your mouth. And we're gonna do 10 of them, and we're gonna do them fairly quick. All right, y'all ready? Make sure you don't hit yourself. Don't get injured on this move here. Okay, if you're driving your car, do not do this while driving. Pull over to the side of the road. People think you're crazy. It's okay. So, all right, here we go. We're gonna go in, out, one more.
I can feel that in the sinuses.
Oxygenated. Yeah. You just got all sorts of oxygen like deep inside the body. Your brain probably feels a little bit lightheaded after doing that. And the students laugh because they think it's funny. And two, like it's this incredible like boost of energy because you've just reoxygenated your body. Like your blood cells literally like get bigger so they can take in all the oxygen. Like it actually wakes you up. So if you're tired before first period, you forgot your second cup of coffee, you don't have music to play, which is our first, you know, recommendation, do some turtle breathing and get yourself back in it. So That's what I've got for you today. That's my connection activity. And again, the connection piece of this is you share the story behind it to why this is important for your students and how it's impacted you positively. So it's that vulnerability piece, and it's just excellent to teach your students to do this.
Yeah, that was actually my first question for you is, you know, having been your friend since the middle of fifth grade or whatever it was. I know that this isn't something that's been a part of your life forever, right? Like this is something that you right. picked up in say like the last 5 years or so. Correct me on the exact timeline there.
So yeah, probably about six, seven years. It was when I started Challenge Day was when I really got into it because we did a lot of it.
That would be my first question is like, where were you at in your own journey with like thinking about meditation and mindfulness and your breathing and when you started bringing that into the classroom?
So yeah, it was where this really picked up for me was when I moved to California and I joined, the Challenge Day team there. We would do, you know, meditation almost daily, as like an intro to all of our meetings. We would do, you know, just different ways to connect with each other to start meetings and then do some, like, if you really knew me pieces where you actually shared vulnerability and all that stuff. And it's amazing how when you actually take moments to connect energetically with a group and then share from the heart on a daily basis, how tight knit you become with that group. Right. If you don't have people like that in your life, I encourage you to find groups. But it's amazing that level of relationship that you can create with people that used to be strangers like months ago. Like it was, it's amazing. Like I would arguably say that like those people, in my Challenge Day life are like family. And, and so like, you know, it's amazing the connections that you create and how quickly you can connect them. So that was where it was happening. I had a handful of random things kind of going on in my life. I was looking for a change of pace. I wanted to get out of Washington for a bit. I had to shift things up. So I was looking for something new. And when you look for something new and you start asking different questions and arguably better questions, you get better results and better answers. So that's kind of where I was, where I found it. And then obviously I was on the road for 3 years, but when I came off the road to be at home with my wife, and then I got back into the classroom for the last couple of years here, I immediately was like, if I'm not doing Challenge Day, I'm bringing Challenge Day into my classroom because I know the importance of it.
That's great. Okay. So that was, so I guess my follow-up question to that would be then, do you feel like, let's say like me, right? Like I'm basically a novice or like a beginner when it comes to this stuff. You had 3 years of personal practice before you brought it into the classroom. Would you advocate something along those lines from a timeline? Or would you say like, go ahead and start with your students when you're starting with yourself?
I think just like everything we do in our class, when we find something that's awesome and excites us, start it. Like okay. when would now be a good time to start? Right. So, the idea of feeling like you have to be an expert before you can try it, I think speaks to our insecurity more than it does the effectiveness in the classroom. And I know we're going to talk about that perfectionist piece on a later episode, but it ties hand in hand with that, right? Like if we never begin, we can never improve. So like I would encourage you to learn a little bit, and even just as simple as this podcast, just repeat what you just saw there. That's your connection activity. Start with those three things and then do a little more research and find what you like, or just repeat those. You know, like there's your monthly thing, right? Maybe do journaling for the fourth week of the month, do some self-reflection stuff, and then the other Monday you do meditation, you build up from 60 seconds to 5 minutes. And then you maybe go from 5 breaths up to 10 breaths.
Okay. That makes a ton of sense. Since you started this, like you're also, interestingly enough, right? Your story is that you kind of went on like a globetrotter experience, right? You were in Washington, you go to California, you pick up the meditation and the mindfulness, and you land in Kentucky where you're doing it for the first time. Those are like nothing against either place, but like Kentucky and California are very different from like the culture of the people that you're around. What was the resistance level that you had to deal with students when you first started installing the stuff into the classroom?
Students are resilient, right? And no matter where you are in this country, students are students, people are people. Yes, we have our own cultural experiences and we have our own life experiences that have kind of shaped our beliefs and how we behave. But at the core of it, when you really get like honest with people about why this is important to you, they listen and they try it. That's my experience, at least. I of course I had some of my students who are like, this is stupid. And they're like, you know, like they don't want to participate, and most of them don't participate. The ones that are resistant. Right. Mm-hmm. But I'd say 90% of my classrooms jumped right in it, and over 50-60% like actively enjoyed it to the point they were asking for more of it.
Okay.
And that was almost instantly. Because they also had never been experienced, like exposed to it. They're like, wait, what is this? Like, I can actually just sit still and be with me. Like, because we're always taught, like, if you're not doing something, you're not being productive. Right. And so.
Well, I can kind of relate to that, because we actually have, we have a yoga teacher at our school. She also has at least one period a day where I think she teaches mindfulness, like as a class, like it's the class.
Nice.
And when I first got to the school, I was both, you know, I was starting teaching, but I was also starting as a football coach. And we always brought our kids in on Saturday to like stretch and jog, because there's a whole bunch of stuff about recovering from a body health standpoint.
Right.
And that's best practice. Also, like side note, they know this now. I brought them in at 9 o'clock because they had to shake my hand or another coach's hand, because, you know, it's pretty easy to tell if a kid was out drinking the night before, if, you know, he's waking up at 9 o'clock smelling boozy or whatever, which luckily right. we didn't run into. But so anyways, yeah. Like after a week of doing that, a bunch of the seniors came to me and said, hey, yo, we do yoga, where I've been in yoga, taking the mindfulness class. We think that would be really helpful as a part of this practice. Mm-hmm. And the thing that was cool about it was, like, you could tell that it impacted them, because they were just starting it that same school year. So they were only a couple weeks into it. And they were like, can we lead the team through that on Saturdays?
Cool.
Because I didn't know how to do it. And so I had like three or four seniors that were leading the football team through some of the meditation and yoga stuff that they were learning in school. So to your point about, like, there's going to be kids, right, who are going to immediately go like, oh, this is life-changing, and I want to
right.
– they become apostles.
Right, and then all you have to do is empower that and allow it, yeah, right? Mm-hmm. Yes, take hold of it and go.
Cool.
Yeah.
And then are there specific times – like I know you said you have Mindfulness Monday, or Mindfulness Monday, but like are there other times – like I'm thinking test, or when a kid is talking to you about some issue that's not necessarily related to school, where you're emphasizing these strategies.
Right. Yeah. So for sure the test part I think is huge, especially if I know my, like the entire group is stressed out going into a test, because, you know, it's the end of the quarter and we're just running tight on time. So I didn't, you know, I was like, I got to get this test in to, you know, keep us kind of on track, you know, which again, those are kind of my own false deadlines and things like that. So that's things that I need to reflect on in my own mindfulness to aware of that. But, you know, my students obviously would feel that, and they'd be like, I don't know if we're ready for this. And so I'm like, all right, take a deep breath, because if you're in that like panicked mode, you will not remember it. Mm-hmm. And I know we're going to do a different episode on that too with heart intelligence, but this idea of if you can actually calm yourself, like your heart and brain actually, like your waves match. And so you actually will remember things better when you're in a state of calm versus a state of panic. So sometimes, yeah, before a test, I'll have them do 3 deep breaths. And that's all we need is 3 deep breaths to help totally like change our physiology and bring us back to like a more calm space. If we need more than that, I can do more than that, but typically 3 is all we need.
Cool.
So, yeah.
Awesome. Thanks for sharing, man. That was really cool.
You're welcome. All right. We'll see you guys for the big idea here on Thursday.
See you Thursday, guys.